This week we're reading Parshat Truma, and I'm telling you the genesis of where this came from. I walked into Model UN Sunday afternoon. Sunday night we had an advisors meeting, and we were singled out as new advisors. And I saw on the schedule that it said, and I've never been there before, and it had it said on the schedule, optional shiur at midnight or something. And I go, what was that? And it turned out this was the first year they were trying it. And the fellow who was giving the optional shiur both nights came up to me and said, I know you're going to be here. Would you mind giving? I'll give tonight. Do you mind giving tomorrow night? I said, okay. So I went up to my room. I'm looking at the parsha, and suddenly something gelled. So this is what it is. So you're hearing it not for the first time, meaning it's not the first time, but it's fresh. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai, goes up to the top of Har Sinai. At what point in the process of Matan Torah does Moshe go up to the top of Har Sinai?
You mean, is it 3 days after? Is it,
what do you mean by that? Sequencing. So if you read carefully Parshat Yitro and Mishpatim, you'll see that Moshe goes up and down several times with instructions, ends up at the bottom of the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in a cloud over the mountain, and unclear whether Moshe is in the cloud or out of the cloud, but he's at the bottom of the mountain when the Aseret HaDibrot are said. The people's reaction to the Aseret HaDibrot is to freak out. And we can't take it anymore, you go in and get the mitzvot. Okay, so Moshe goes into a cloud at the foot of the mountain. Hashem gives him the laws of a Mizbeach and the Mishpatim, and then Brit. He then tells Moshe to come up to the top of the mountain, and he's going to give him HaTorah v'mitzvah shekatav l'orotah. Moshe first goes out, builds a Mizbeach, writes Sefer HaBrit, I'm not doing this exactly in order, reads Sefer HaBrit, which is evidently all the things that he heard inside the cloud, so he tells them exactly what they asked. You go and get the mitzvot and tell us. So he goes in and gets the mitzvot and comes out and tells them. Reads it from Sefer HaBrit, they all say famously, Naseh v'nishma, brings the Korban, and then Hashem tells him to come up to the top of the mountain. Up to the top of the mountain, and he's standing outside of the, take a look in source 2. Vayal Moshe al ahar, vayichas hanan et ahar. Vayishkon kvod Adonai al har Sinai, vayichaseu anan shesh damim, vayikra Moshe vayimashvim mitoche anan. So the cloud covers, and Moshe's standing outside of the cloud for 6 days. And on the seventh day, Hashem calls him, and he summons him in. Moshe enters. What does this look like? So it looks like a cloud.
He's on top of the mountain.
Top of the mountain. Yeah. Walks into a cloud that's on top of the mountain. Right? What does the cloud look like? It's a cloud. But, Umarei kavod Adonai ke'esh ochel peros shahar. Le'inei b'nei Yisrael. If you're at the bottom, you look up, what do you see? It looks like a devouring fire. There's the snow we talked about. And now, v'avon Moshe v'toche anan, but we know the reality, it's an anan, at least from Moshe's perspective. V'yalo lahar, v'ayim Moshe b'har, b'am yom v'am laila. He's there 40 days and 40 nights. How long is he supposed to be there? We don't know. Because at the end of 40 days, suddenly the eagle happens, he gets called out, and okay, we go from there. So that's, what is it Moshe gets from Hashem when he's in the cloud, on top of the mountain? So he gets the luchot, that we know, because he walks out with the luchot. What else does he get? So the simplest answer is to read the next bit, to read everything that's in the Torah that Hashem gives to Moshe up until the eagle. And everything from the moment that Moshe goes into the cloud that we read about up until the Egel is about one single four-letter word, and that is Mishkan. First thing is the Truma, what donations they have to bring, then the different appurtenances for the Mishkan, then the structure of the Mishkan, then the Mizbeach, and then we're told about the Begadim for the Kohanim, and then how to consecrate the Kohanim, etc., on and on and on. The collection of Machzid HaShekel, the Kior and the Kan, the special oil for Mishcha, the Ketoret ingredients, and then identifying Bezalel and his team as the artisans, and then the special mitzvah about Shabbat. Amen. Hashem gives him luchot, and then get out of here, the eagle, etc. Okay, so that's what he's getting. Why does he get all the commands regarding the Mishkan on top of the mountain when he got all the Mishpatim at the bottom? In other words, when he went in at the bottom, why doesn't Hashem just give him everything? Why does he have to do this whole piece and come up to the mountain and wait outside 6 days and be summoned into the cloud and then get the laws of the Mishkan. And when that's all over, it comes out and deals with everything. And by the way, the rest of Shemot is focusing on the Mishkan, because there's the Egel. And once the Egel is corrected, shall we say, or dealt with, then it's building the Mishkan. The Mishkan finally is constructed and inaugurated at the end of Sefer Shemot. Before looking at that, I want to ask one other question, which is a question at the beginning of next week's parasha. I'll take you to Shabbat Mincha. The beginning of the parasha is V'atat tzaveh bnei Yisrael, V'choy lach Hashem and Zayit Zach katit lama'or laha'alot ner tamid. Now, one thing interesting about that sentence is that the verb to light, how would you say to light in Hebrew? Lahadlik, right? But in Chumash, at least when we talk about the menorah, the verb to light is laha'alot, which is not about igniting anything. It's about the result of the candles going in an upward fashion. But that's the verb that's used here and in Baalotcha and elsewhere. We're talking about the menorah, lahalot ner tamid. Okay. But the real interesting thing is in the next pasuk, be'ol hamoed, so where is he going to light it?
But the command isn't to light it at that moment in time.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying when you're going to light, this is what you're going to use. But consistently, whenever it talks about lighting the menorah, it uses the word lahalot, right? Ve'halat nerotei avei yiral over paneha in truma.
It never uses madlik?
No. And bahalotcha tanerot. A whole parsha named after that. Okay. Right? So now, be'ohom moed, where's the menorah? Well, we already told where it is. Michutz la parochet. So it's on the outside of the parochet. We got that. Asher al ha'edut. What? What does that mean? The parochet that's on the edut. That's a little bit strange. Think about it. What is the edut? The edut is the luchot. Where are the luchot? The luchot are inside of an aron. Where is the aron? The aron is behind the parochet, but it's covered by a kaporet. So how is the parochet, that's like five steps away or two steps away. Why is it referred to that way? Why just say michutz la parochet and stop there? Asher al ha'edut is just a bizarre kind of phrase. So let's see about that also. Okay. Let's take a look at the Mishkan itself. And I believe that both structure and form and location, all of those, are actually going to help us understand what the purpose of the Mishkan is. Something that everybody right away notices and everybody comments on is the fact that the Mishkan is explicit, the Mishkan is detailed, and the details are explicit. What material, what size, down to the tefach, how it's plated, what it's shaped like, everything. Nothing seems to be left to Torah Sheval Peh. It's all very much right there, which is unusual because everything else in the Torah is presented in more general terms and the details come through Torah Sheval Peh or through Midrashim, Midrashei Halacha. Take a look at how the Mishkan starts. So let me ask you a question. If you're building a building, what's the first thing you sit down when you're planning it? What's the first thing you think about or talk about?
Who's using it?
And, therefore?
What they need from it.
What the function is, right? And the most important function. So I asked my boys about the new building at EULA. I said, when they sat down to build the new building at EULA, what was the first thing they thought about? And they said, the gym. And I was about to, like, protest. I said, oh, that actually is the first thing they thought about. That was the big thing. We're building a gym. I go, great. Was the first thing that they built a gym? No, the gym isn't built yet. The first thing that they built was?
Foundation.
Foundation, right? Actually, they built a fundraising mechanism. And, you know, you have to raise the money, and you have to get the plans, and you got to get the approvals and all that. But the first thing they actually built was, I told them, they built a huge swimming pool. Right? I came back from vacation, I said, who filled in my swimming pool? They had a huge swimming pool there, in a huge, huge, huge foundation. And then they build the foundation in, and then, you know, it's going up, and the gym will be at the end. They're going to put the net up at the end. I think with a bracha, without a bracha, I'm not sure. But it's probably with a bracha. But that means that when you plan a building, you start by talking about the ultimate goal, the most important piece of it, and everything builds out around it. When you actually build it, you start from the outside and build in. I know we're familiar with the difference between Moshe and Bezalel. Moshe's command is teleological, and therefore it's based on the goal. And Bezalel's command is practical, which is to start from the outside. So we want to figure out what this Mishkan's about. We start at the beginning. What's the very first thing that they're told to build? No, you have it in the source 3. V'yasu aron atzei shitim. Right? Make a box. What's the box made out of? Wood. All the wood here is acacia wood. Wood. They're going to make a box out of wood. And then we're given the dimensions. And then v'tzipita oto zahav tahor. What are you supposed to do with this wood? Just to plate it in gold. Which means you have wood that's plated in gold. You will notice that everything inside the Mishkan is gold. I have to be honest with you, I never really understood why until a bunch of years ago when I encountered a most unusual place on Road 1. You know Road 1, it goes from Tel Aviv to Male Adumim. So on Road 1, not far from Pnei Hayam, you know, the sea level thing where he gets out and takes those pictures. So not far from there, there was a place, not there, there anymore. Some guy rented some stuff on the right side, on the south side of the road, where he constructed a thing he called the Sanctuary in the Wilderness. Some preacher from Kansas. And he set up a life-size model of the Mishkan with the Chatzer. Didn't have all the boundaries, but the Chatzer, the Mizbeach, the Kior, and then and there was a tent. And I walked into the tent. Not allowed to go into the Kodesh Kodesh. Wouldn't let you in. But the Kodesh, you could walk in. Walk into the Kodesh, and I realized this place is absolutely pitch black. Because there's no door, there's no windows. And there's a door, but it's closed, there's no windows. And it's got three heavy tent covers over it. Except it's not pitch black, it's blazing sun's light, because everything in there is gold, and there are candles and a fire. And the candles are glimmering off of the gold and bouncing back and forth, and the fire, and the place is like a psychedelic sun show. Huge. So it's very, very light. So everything in the Mishkan is gold, or gold plated. But here's what the difference is. The Aron is made of wood, but it's gold plated. What is on top of the Aron? That's the next thing. V'asita chaporet zahav tahor. It's going to be a chaporet, which is a cover, which is pure gold, just gold. And we're given the dimensions. And if you look at the big pasuk at the bottom, this is the purpose of the entire Mishkan, which is, V'no'atish l'cha sham, I'm going to meet with you, Moshe, there. V'dibarti itcha mi'al kaporet, I will speak to you from above the kaporet, mi'bein shnei ha'kruvim. From right between those two kruvim, asher al aron ha'idut. I mean, this is all one piece of gold. The kruvim, of course, have wings. What do the kruvim look like? We can discuss. But the wings are clear, no question. And it's on top of Aron Haidut, et kol ashet tzavel tchal b'nei Yisrael. Which means I'm going to give you more mitzvot concerning b'nei Yisrael. And I'll give you these mitzvot right here. Which means Hashem is meeting with Moshe in the cloud atop Har Sinai to tell him, here's how to construct a place where I can give you more mitzvot. In other words, the place where they're meeting is now given an extension. And here's how you're going to create more. And this is the Ramban's famous introduction to Truma, that the Mishkan is a continuation, a portable Har Sinai. Okay, and be able to continue giving mitzvot as you go through the Midbar. Very good. Move out from there. What's the next thing we build? Vasita Shochan Atzei Shitim. The Shochan. What's the Shochan made out of? Wood. Again, it's plated gold. Okay, turn the page. And by the way, what's on the Shochan?
Gold.
What's on the Shochan?
Bread.
Okay, where does bread come from? Say the bracha.
Ground.
Right, comes from the ground. Okay? And there's in a pasuk in Tehillim, Motzei Lechem Min Haaretz. We know that. Okay. What else is in the Mishkan? A menorah. What's the menorah made out of? Pure gold. What are you going to do with the menorah? You're going to put shemen in it, and ve'he'elah neroteha. And it's going to have a flame that goes up. Now, take a look at the end of passage 4 6, or Eva Asevet Kantani Tamashotam or Ebahar. And you're going to make all of these things just the way you saw them on the mountain, which means what's Moshe doing up in the cloud? He's seeing a Mishkan. He's seeing where he is. And now he's seeing how to make a model of it down there that can move. Okay. Move further out. You're in the Kodesh. You're still inside the tent. Look up. What do you see? Look up, what do you see? You're in the tent, what do you see? You see a cover, a tent cover. There's three tent covers. What's the one that you're seeing? It's made out of spun thread of Zahav, Tchelet, Argaman, Tolat, Shani, Sheish, Mozar. And what is stitched into it? Kruvim. When you look up, you see Kruvim with wings.
You mean throughout the covering?
No, there's two big Kruvim up there. Not throughout, two big Kruvim.
Different than the Kruvim on the Ark.
Yeah, that's gold. This is stitched. This is a design.
Do we have
now,
a source for
now, what?
Is that in your sources?
Yeah, of course. Pasuka, source 7. And now, what's holding up the tent? Krashim. Krashim are made of what? Wood. The wood is plated gold. What's holding the krashim up? Adanim. What are adanim made out of? Silver. Okay, so let's just stop at this particular point. We're going to see what happens. You walk into the Mishkan. And this, by the way, explodes out. But when you walk into the Mishkan, you look around you and you see silver sockets. Where does silver come from?
Ground.
Underground. The silver sockets have, coming out of them, wood. Where does wood come from?
Ground.
Trees which grow out of the ground. And you look up and what do you see? Kruvim. Some winged heavenly something. Right? Okay. Now, you look around you, and what do you see inside the Kodesh? On one side, you see a shulchan. What's the shulchan? Wood, anchored in the ground, with bread on it. On the other side, what do you see? A gold menorah with candles flickering up. This bifurcation between heaven and earth, heaven and earth, you go behind the parochet, and by the way, what's on the parochet? Kruvim. You go behind the parochet, what do you see? An aron made out of wood, and on top of it is a kaporet that's all gold. And on top of the kaporet is the kruvim with the wings. What's the Mishkan? The Mishkan is the place where heaven and earth meet. Heaven and earth meet compactly on the inside. You step outside and they're separate kelim. You look further and they are the top and the bottom of the structure. This is the place where heaven and earth meet. And this is where Hashem says, I'm going to meet with you. I, heaven, you, earth, we're going to meet and I'm going to give you mitzvot. We're going to communicate. If you think about it, one of the powerful elements of the travels in the Midbar, when did Bnei Yisrael stop and set up camp when they're traveling? How did they know to set up camp?
A pillar.
Of what? Cloud.
Yeah.
A cloud would come down and settle, and they would know that was the place. And they set up the Mishkan, and the cloud would rest over the Mishkan. When the cloud would lift off the Mishkan. Well, why a cloud? Why doesn't Hashem just say, stop here? Why a cloud? Because the cloud is heaven. When heaven rests, that means this is the place Hashem chooses to rest. This is where you set up the Mishkan. This is the place we're going to meet. Now, to us, maybe sounds interesting in the parsha, but the phenomenology of it is very powerful when viewed against the backdrop of the times. Bnei Yisrael have left Mitzrayim. Bnei Yisrael are going to be going past some and then into a land of pagan nations. In pagan thinking, where do the gods reside? Wherever I want them to. I control it. I build a building, I declare this is the house of the gods, and the gods are there, because I've said so. That's why all of the structures that you find throughout the Near East have names on it that, if you think about it, are very arrogant. Seat of the gods. Because man decides where God's going to be. What's the Torah's consistent message? How do you worship God? The way God tells you to worship. Where does God reside? Where God chooses to reside. When does God speak to you? When God chooses to speak to you. And you don't get to drive things. God does. Migdal Bavel was the story of people who built a place and said, this is where God lives. Bavel, Sha'ar HaElohim, Sha'ar HaShamayim. What's the big impact of Yaakov's dream at Beit El? He stops at some lonely place and sees a sulam with the malachim going up and down and said, this is the Sha'ar HaShamayim, not that. This is the Sha'ar HaShamayim. This is the Bavel. This is the real gate to heaven. Because where God chooses to be. And so as we wander through the Midbar, wherever God chooses to speak to us, He decides, the cloud lowers, we set up the Mishkan, we set up the place that He has choreographed. Where heaven and earth are going to meet, we meet with Him, and He continues giving mitzvot. When we're done with that, He lifts the cloud up, says, we're going somewhere else, and you're going to follow me. And now you understand the impact of Yirmiyahu's words. Zacharti lach, chesed nurayich, havat klotayich, lechteich acharai b'midbar. What is the great love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels for us? That our loyalty in that we followed Him through the Midbar. It's not just that we follow wherever He told us to go. We set up the intimate meeting place with Him wherever He chose for that place to be. Ultimate in loyalty. And now you understand the back context of that, of moving in the opposite direction. So what does Hosea say is the tikkun for Avodah Zarah? V'holachtia hamidbar. I'll bring her back out to the midbar and I'll re-inaugurate those great old days where she would do what? Where she would meet with me where I said to meet. And that's something that's encapsulated here in the structure of the Mishkan.